Good afternoon to everyone. For everyone that's paying attention, I wanted to announce that the first thing we're going to do today I'm going to receive my booster shot as well as the First Lady and Dr. Romero. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to come back and give our daily report and cover a few other items. But I thought it was important to emphasize to all of Arkansas that booster shots are available. We'll cover the eligibility level and what the criteria is, but the First Lady and I had received our Pfizer vaccine and first and second doses over 6 months ago, and so we're eligible to receive a booster shot, and everybody who's eligible, we want to encourage them to do that. And Dr. Romero, you're probably not old enough to qualify for that, but you are a physician, and so you're first line, and we certainly want to make sure he has the booster shot as well.
And we have our Department of Health here. Yes.
Dr. Mayor. First Lady,
I'm here.
Okay. That's
How are you?
Good.
No, you're fine.
You're the best shot giver
in
Arkansas. I can tell you that.
You're welcome. You want to take care of her?
Right,
you want me to take care of her? Hi.
Hello.
I'm Ebony. How are you? Well, you're the other best.
Shot giver.
Yes, absolutely. This is really exciting. Get this COVID conquered.
Get it taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Let me see you up here. Got a pie now? Here we go. Perfect.
That's Ebony.
It's really good.
It is.
Nothing to it.
How are you doing?
I am doing fine.
Good. That's it. Just relax it. It's all perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you for that indulgence. And first, as we kick this off, I want to read a letter from a constituent, at least a sentence of that letter. And this is a constituent from Conway who is in a family of RNs, nurses. And the constituent says to me, "Sir, don't slack off on what you're doing and keep going at it full force," end quote. She actually reiterated that a couple times. It's a very encouraging note, and it just reminds me of we do have to stick with it. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we get weary of this, but we can't slack off. We have to stick with it. This constituent gave some very good leadership advice to me, but I think it's good counsel to the entire state and everybody that might be listening. Let's go to the booster shot. First, this is the eligibility criteria for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. And the first segment there is people who had the Pfizer vaccine and meet this criteria should get a booster shot 6 months after their second dose, and that's age 65 years and older, and those that are in long-term care settings, and those 50 to 64 with underlying medical conditions. Now, the director of CDC, Dr. Walensky, modified the recommendations and said those in this following category may get the booster shot 6 months, and that extends to those with 18 to 49 with underlying medical conditions and those that are in, have increased exposure because of an occupational or institutional setting. And of course, that could be our frontline healthcare workers. And so I'm pleased with that, and I encourage everybody who meets that criteria to go ahead and get your booster. The next shows that we are having through the Department of Health some what we would call mass vaccination clinics to make the booster shot more available, and understanding that there's going to be a higher level of demand. And so you can see this list from Pine Bluff Convention Center to Fort Smith Convention Center in West Memphis, St. Mark's Baptist Church in Little Rock on those dates. We encourage everybody to look there or to go to your local pharmacy or other provider. The doses should be available for you if you meet the criteria. And then let's go to the case update for today. We have an increase of 800 cases, which are 600 fewer than a week ago. This is very encouraging. Last week it was 1,401 in new cases. Today, 800. Active cases are down 647. Total deaths, sadly, is 21. And it, again, emphasizes the incredible seriousness and deadly nature of the COVID and motivation to get the vaccine. And then we'll see the vaccinations. The doses given on that second line, we've given out 9,431 doses. And of this, roughly, probably a third at least are booster doses. And so the point I want to emphasize is that while we're talking about booster doses today, if you have not received your first dose of the vaccine, please get it. It is critically important to you and your health, but also to what we're trying to accomplish as a state in community resistance. And so you can see that we've added fully immunized another 3,200. So that's encouraging, but we need to do even increasing those numbers. Next, the hospital data. We continue to decline of 26 fewer in the hospital because of COVID, and we have 9 fewer on ventilators. Next, this just is showing that 11% are partially vaccinated, 52% of our eligible population has been vaccinated. You add those together, we're up to 63% fully or partially vaccinated. And then we just like to show this because this is the first is our cases where almost 90% of our new cases are those that haven't been vaccinated. When it comes to the second category of hospitalizations, 90% of our hospitalizations have not been vaccinated. And if our deaths, 89.5% of our deaths are those that have not been vaccinated. All of those can be prevented, the largest percent of those, if we get the vaccination. The number of active cases, this is just to show the trend line continues down, and it also shows it comparison to where it was on March 1. So we're not down to the level yet that we were in the April through June timeframe. And then we see the positivity rate I keep an eye on. It's below 10% at 9.7% positivity rate. But it's we wanted to go lower again to where it was in the April timeframe. Now, this is an announcement that we want to make today because it is, one, a refresher as to our schools as to when quarantines are required and when you can avoid having to quarantine and miss school. And so this is a reminder, but it's also a new announcement. So on the left side here, in terms of individuals, if you want to avoid quarantine, you get fully vaccinated. And that's one category. And then secondly, if you've been previously positive in the past 90 days, which means you have some natural immunity within 90 days, then you would not have to quarantine. And then the third category, which is an incentive that both parties were wearing a mask consistently and correctly, you don't have to quarantine. So there's some steps that can be taken to avoid quarantines, and we want to do that because we want to have continued learning and not to have learning gaps during the course of this year. But then we also, this second category here and the third one, are new protocols that we are announcing today. And that is, if you have a school community vaccination rate of 70% or above, then those in that community do not have to quarantine. So it's an incentive to increase the vaccination rates. That includes 70% of staff and students fully vaccinated in a particular school, not a district, and it is of the entire population of the school, not just those that will be eligible. Obviously, it'll be easier to make that whenever the vaccination will open up to larger populations or the younger children as well. But that is a goal to achieve, and it's something the schools have asked for as a means to avoid quarantine if the vaccination rate get to a certain level. And then the other announcement today is a pilot program that we want to institute, and that is that if a student who does not get vaccinated, but they want to avoid quarantine, they can agree to test to stay in school. And so they would have to have a negative test, wear a mask, and they can remain in school. And we do not have, at this point, the number of schools that are willing to do these rapid tests, but we have a number of schools that are willing to pilot this. And so it's really going to be on a first come, first serve basis. We've already identified one school that's been asking for this. This will help them to minimize the quarantines, but it'll also assure safety in the schools. The rapid test, we have, I believe, 100,000 of those in our current inventory. So it's a first come, first serve with those rapid tests with our schools. We hope that supply increases so we can broaden that to more schools that might be interested in it. And so with that, let me then ask Dr. Romero to come. He has another slide that he wants to talk about, followed by Secretary Key.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. I want to talk a few minutes about quarantine and why we think this is important and why it's been shown for hundreds of years to be beneficial in the control of infectious diseases. One of the comments I get from parents and teachers and superintendents is that we quarantine large numbers of individuals for an exposure of a small number of individuals. So let me explain why we do that, because I think this graph will help. So keep in mind that this is hypothetical, and it has to do with the new Delta variant, which is highly transmissible. So if we assume that an individual conservatively will infect five other individuals if they have COVID, the scenario is set. So if we start with 10 individuals who are infected, those individuals then have the possibility to go on to infect 50 other individuals. And those 50 others have the potential to individually infect five more, and so a total of 250. So from those 10, you now have 300 individuals infected. And in a school setting where you have 1,000 students, that is 30% of your population that will be infected after two rounds of transmission of the virus. So this is why isolation or quarantine goes into effect, because you limit the spread to the lowest number of individuals possible. And I understand that you're talking about a small minority, a minority of the population, but we do that to bring this under control so it doesn't spread widely throughout the population, whether it's a school, a congregate setting, or a hospital. That's the reason why. So three more comments quickly. So today, the Pfizer it submitted their data regarding immunizations in children ages 5 to 11. The preliminary data released in a press release last week by Pfizer indicates that the vaccine is highly efficacious and safe. The CDC will now undergo their routine evaluation, and we hope to have adjudication by them about the possibility of having this vaccine available sometime in the late fall, early winter of this year. Second, you saw us receive our booster doses today. In addition to the boosters for COVID, it's important that everyone that is eligible 6 months and above, and I'm talking about infants and above, please to receive their influenza vaccine. We have concerns that this year may be a very significant year for a number of cases and hospitalizations because we've had very mild diseases in the last 2 years. So with that, I'll turn it over to Secretary Key for his comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Dr. Romero, our cases in our public schools reflect the trend that we're seeing in all other sectors of the state. We, as of yesterday, had a little over 2,100 positive cases currently in the schools. That reflects about a 500 case decline from last week, last Thursday's report. So that's very good news. We also want to report that this week we have had no schools that are reporting any modifications to their on-site delivery. Just a comment that I would like to make. First, thank Dr. Romero and the health team for their work with the Department of Education in looking at how we can reduce the number of quarantined individuals in our schools. We certainly want to encourage the vaccination rates to be increased across all of our schools, so that is very welcome. But masking and vaccinations are very important. That's not the only thing that's happening in our schools. I want to remind our Kansans that schools all over the state are increasing or improving their ventilation. They are engaged in projects to upgrade their heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. They are looking at other ways as they determine what the local data show them, how they can modify whatever operations they have internally to reduce the number of exposures. So this work is ongoing, and I want to commend the teachers, the administrators, our superintendents for all the work that they are doing to make sure we continue to have a safe school year.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll take any questions.
I guess the emergency declaration expired yesterday. So what's the reason you decided to not seek an extension, and what practical effect is that going to have?
Well, first, I didn't seek an extension of the emergency declaration simply because I did not need any additional powers to act during this time of the pandemic. And so that's the reason it was not extended. I need to emphasize that we are still in a pandemic. We still have 20 plus people dying every day because of COVID. And so just because the technical emergency was not extended does not mean we're not still in a very serious situation with the pandemic and the actions that we need to take. I just do not need to utilize any emergency powers, and so I didn't ask for an extension of that.
So there were some rules that were suspended, I think, for licensure. Does that mean those are now back in effect?
They have been utilized, but the I'll have to check on that. There might be some other ways to cover that. But also the need, for that right now doesn't exist. So we can get more information for you on that.
With cases going down, but fear of a winter surge. Is Arkansas planning for any preparation with that?
Well, we're taking a cautious approach to it. We'd like to think that with our cases going down, with our vaccination rate going up, that we'll be able to withstand any winter surge, and that that won't happen. But we recognize it could happen, and so we're making sure that we have adequate hospital capacity, that we're have the all the other resources that we need. So we understand that this has thrown us a lot of curves, and just because we're going down now does not mean it's not going to go back up in December. So we'll have to wait and see on that, but we're taking a careful approach to it. Are there anybody questions remotely?
Yes, Governor, this is Samantha with KNWA. I have two questions. My first one is, if quarantining is as important as Dr. Romero just laid out, I'm wondering why we would loosen quarantine rules to allow close contacts to continue going to school with the rapid test and mask. And then my second one is, State Senator Trent Garner announced yesterday he's filing a bill for employees to be eligible for unemployment benefits if they're fired for refusing the vaccine. I'm just wondering if you have any response to that.
Well, in reference to the additional ways to avoid quarantine, what I applaud Dr. Romero and his health department team for is that the fact that we are providing these alternatives to avoid quarantine does not compromise the public health requirements in the school and the outcome. And so the testing is a means to make sure that there's not anybody that can infect others in the school environment. The wearing of masks can accomplish the same things and vaccination can. So we're not compromising health standards, but we are giving options so that we can minimize quarantine and give the school districts options to look at. Dr. Merrill, do you have anything else to add on that?
So these options that are being presented also have safeguards. For example, test to stay in school would require that a child that is exposed while they're being tested needed to wear the mask, and we know that the mask prevents transmission. So we are opening it up. We're trying to keep children in school for in-school learning, but at the same time putting in safeguards so that they can do so.
Well, just a second. In reference to the second part of the question, the extended general session, in my view, under the Arkansas Constitution, can only be brought together to consider redistricting matters. That's under our Constitution, so bills that are filed separately from redistricting, in my view, is not a proper purview of the General Assembly in an extended regular session. And so, yes, sir, do you have a question?
I was concerned, are we concerned with the state or Dr. Merrill with any new variants on the horizon? Is there anything that concerns you guys that there's some possibilities of a new Delta?
Dr. Merrill.
Thank you for that question. So we are keeping our eyes on certain variants, the mu and the lambda variants. We do have them in the state. We're watching them. At this time, there doesn't appear to be an uptick in those cases like we've seen before in the Alpha variant or in the Delta variant. But yes, as long as we do not have enough vaccination within the state, there is a risk for another surge in the future. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yes, Governor, it's Mitch.
All right, Mitch, and then we'll come back to the table. Go ahead, Mitch.
Governor, thanks. A couple questions. The first is either for you or Dr. Romero. There has been a lot of back and forth regarding the FDA, the CDC, regarding these booster shots. One minute it's approved, the next minute they vote, it's up for consideration. The CDC slightly adjusts some of the recommendations. How does the state plan on building trust amongst these booster shots when it would appear that there is some disagreement regarding booster shots in D.C. The second question relates to that Pfizer shot for patients 5 to 11. Is there any chance This one would be more for Dr. Romero. Any chance of getting emergency use authorization by Halloween?
First, in reference to the booster shot, there is a consensus, and there has not been any real dispute, that the booster shot being approved by the FDA is appropriate, gives additional protections, and is recommended. The only debate has been what should be the eligible groups now, and that's more of a strategic issue as to how many vaccines are available, how quickly, what is the need, how quickly should we roll them out. There has been confusion on that point. I do believe Dr. Walensky made the right call, and that extends the booster shot to those that are healthcare professionals on the front line. I just got off a call with the White House, and that issue was raised about points of confusion, and they're going to try to increase the messaging that will provide more clarity to everyone to minimize that confusion and make sure everyone knows who's eligible, who should be getting that, and what the steps are. And then Dr. Romero, did you want to comment on the other part of that question?
So thank you. In reference to the decisions that the advisory councils make, so the VRBPAC, which is the advisory committee to the FDA, and the ACIP, which is the advisory committee to the CDC, these are experts in the field that weigh the data and present it to the directors of each of those institutions. The directors have the right, and it's within the scope of the charter for these organizations, that to modify those recommendations based on data that they see and they have that they think are in the benefit of the American public. There is no way that these vaccines are not being viewed as safe. It is how to deploy them and which groups to give the most data for. So the action that was taken by the director of the CDC is clearly within the scope of what's allowable for the ACIP. So with regard to the question about whether we'll have a vaccine by Halloween, the 31st of this year, I don't have any information on that, and I think that we will wait and let the FDA go through their normal process as they have. The FDA has, throughout this pandemic and the approval process of these vaccines, documented that it is taking a measured and considered view of these vaccines. It's not being rushed, and the safety and efficacy of these vaccines are being viewed on an individual basis based on the data.
Mr. Wickline.
There was a bill filed today to, I guess, with an eye towards a special session to reduce the top rate to 4.9 over 2 years. Do you have anything to report in terms of consensus with legislative leaders about income tax cuts? And are we going to meet, or is the special session likely to happen the week before deer hunting season starts?
Well, I assure you, I have no intention of calling a special session during deer season. I have learned my lesson on that during the course of life. But in terms of, it's really not any new information. We're still in discussion with the General Assembly, with the leadership and others, as to exactly what our tax cut package would look like. And so there's more work to be done there. And I am not fixed on a date yet until we reach that consensus. And so there's just more work to be done.
Senator Carter, so I know you said you don't think it's appropriate during the extended session, but substance-wise, do you think it's a good idea to allow people to get unemployment if they refuse the vaccine?
You know, the current law actually gives a lot of flexibility there, so that if someone is discharged because they didn't get the vaccine, then they can make the case that they had legitimate reasons and health reasons and other justification for not taking that. And so there is an avenue to make the case currently under the law. I'd have to, and I've learned through the course of legislation in life, that whenever you try to remedy a problem, you got to be careful because you might be creating additional problems. So, you know, one, that bill should not be heard in the extended regular session. Secondly, I'd have to study the bill more as to whether it's appropriate or whether our current system is fair. All right, was anybody remotely, there's another one.
Yes, Governor Brett Rains, 4029 News. Briefly, which school district or school districts have you already heard from regarding the rapid test procedures?
There is one in Northwest Arkansas, but I don't want to identify it yet until we work out the details of that pilot program. Anything else? All right, thank you very much today. Great session, and I want to assure everybody that the Department of Health, thank you, nurses, for a great job, good vaccination, and when you get your booster shot, it's been described as very similar to your second shot. And so it was great today, and I encourage everybody, get your first dose, and if you're eligible, get your booster dose. Thank you.